You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A group of 119 at University of Auckland academics have signed an open letter to the Yoruba Council, calling for stronger clarity and action around their safety concerns. After Professor Susie Wiles called to concern about vulnerabilities in Yoruba system and employment court, more academics have come forward expressing their discomfort around how seriously their safety is taken. I had a chat with Professor Nicola Gaston about the open letter and what changes she thinks need to be made. I first asked her what the call was specifically asking for.
Right. Well, we're really just asking for some awareness and some reassurance. I think that's the main thing. Kind of provoked by comments from the Vice-Chancellor recently about herself having been followed home from work in a way that really, you know, sort of set my hackles up in a way that made me feel, well, there's something wrong here if that's considered normal. And, you know, if that's coming from the Vice-Chancellor, then we sort of felt, well, actually, we need to ask the council to look at this and consider whether that's appropriate.
In the open letter, you mentioned how this has been linked to the recent issues Professor Susie Wiles has had with her harassment. Do you think that this is a relatively new problem, since that's also quite a recent case, or has this been an issue for years now?
I think the relative ease with which different demographics can be heard and can be taken seriously in public is a very long-standing problem. I think it's perhaps coupled to the fact that we have some increasing diversity in academia these days, that perhaps we're seeing the issues become a bit more pointy. We're seeing those minoritised groups, people from those minoritised groups when they're trying to speak out in public are responded to differently than the typical or stereotypical white male.
What are some of the particular concerns that your group are holding with the council?
So one of the things that's really shocked me is the number of signatories who came back with a very clear message about having silenced themselves in effect in response to concerns about their own health and safety. So people who work on a particular area of public importance who've been recently asked by the media to comment and who've said no because they don't believe that they will be safe adopting a public profile on the issue.
Where do you think the recent growth in harassment towards minoritised professors has stemmed from?
Outside of the academic context, there certainly seems to be increased Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, transphobia internationally. So that's one aspect of it. The focus on academia is interesting. I know there's also been a comment about the ACT policy requiring universities to have a free speech policy that's been in the media recently. And I think that's one of the things which worries me, in the sense that I think a focus on free speech internationally has been confused, really, with the idea of academic freedom, because they're not at all the same thing. But I think we've seen that in the UK a little bit, with people, I think conservative governments worrying that students are too woke or whatever it is, and that they need to be able to deal with contentious ideas. And certainly as somebody who works in a university, I see disagreement all the time, and that's fine. But yeah, there's been, I think, a conflation of free speech and academic freedom that's really unhelpful and has perhaps made some of these issues more politicised than they should be.
What sort of responses have you seen from your colleagues in academia from this open letter?
It's really just been the last few days. I think we ended up writing the letter or sending it out on Wednesday and then closed it off on Friday so that we could publish it before the weekend. So it's really been very quick. I think about probably a third of the academics we sent the letter out to had their out-of-offices already on. So you can sort of imagine that the signatories are really just the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, I think there's a lot of concern and a desire for our university to step up and do the best thing it can, recognising that it's not just about our university, but that it is important that these issues are dealt with seriously. And so really we just want an assurance from council that they do take it seriously and that they're taking steps to demonstrate that.
What responsibility does the Council of UOA hold within all of this?
Well, as our governing body, they have ultimate responsibility for health and safety under the Health and Safety at Work Act, I think is the one it's called. That's really why we've directed the letter to Council, because they are presumably looking at all of this, and I think it would be helpful for us to hear from them directly as the university community quite where they're at on this.
Do you believe that this is just a problem across the University of Auckland, or are there more issues amongst universities across the Motu?
I think it's probably a general issue. I tend to not think that individual universities are the problem when you see things like this. I think perhaps because of the level of, you know, public health-oriented research at the University of Auckland, that's perhaps more significant than any other university other than Otago. That might be one reason why Auckland has seen more of the pointy end of these issues, but I'm sure some aspects of it are quite general.
And what changes do you think could be made to assure more safety for professors next year?
So apparently there's a report that was commissioned that the Vice-Chancellor told us all the recommendations had been implemented from. I'm not actually sure that I've seen a copy of that report. I'm not sure that it's publicly available. So a bit more detail on that would be good. But I would acknowledge that it's a very hard thing to assure perfect safety, you know, when it's about people being in public spaces. But there must be some practical measures around, you know, physical safety that can be implemented. More than the physical safety, the big thing that I think is relatively easy to do, and where I think the university leadership has really missed the boat, is trying to protect our mental and emotional safety. And that's a question of culture. That's a question of just being assured by our leadership that they're taking this seriously. And that's what we haven't seen, really.
You mentioned before how the New Zealand ACT Party has recently been calling for more freedom of speech within universities, and how this is perhaps a bit of a misguided call. Do you think that the government as a whole, especially the new government, has any responsibility in all of this to take a stand?
I think there is definitely a relationship between government policy and universities, in which universities have a obligation to act as critic and conscience. And so that can mean critiquing the government. And so a more useful way of the government insisting on free speech within universities would be to see the government welcoming, for example, expert critique of its policies. That would be a really healthy way of reinforcing the value of free speech, rather than trying to institute policies within universities that I think ultimately will be very unhelpful.
That was Professor Nicola Gaston chatting about the open letter asking for the UOA Council to address staff safety concerns.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.